Hey, what's going on, everybody? Jason Cutter here. Welcome to another special series on the Authentic Persuasion Show. I know I keep saying this here in season 7, but I'm very excited for this season, for this focus. If you didn't catch it, make sure to check out episode 555, which was the beginning of this season, where I set up why I'm so excited and why I'm looking forward to conversation. My mission is to fill the world with authentic persuaders. And so part of the goal and the tagline with this podcast is to be a guide for professional sales people. We can talk about why it's not a sales profession. That's a different topic, but to help people and teams and companies close more sales, make more money in a way that's authentic, that benefits them, benefits their customers, improves the world, and leaves people better than you found them versus, let's say, the way classic sales is done. And I'm sure we'll talk about that today. Super excited for my guest. So I've got Professor Mark Michelson on the podcast. He is from Virginia Tech, and he comes to the Paplin College of Business at Virginia Tech with over 25 years of professional hands-on experience in the B2B sales world. So he's not an academic. He's coming at this with a bunch of experience in sales and then bringing that to the students. So he graduated from Union College in New York with his BA and MBA and has had numerous sales leadership positions in marketing, sales management, business development. And he's coming at it again with this long experience in sales to the students that he's teaching there at Virginia Tech. My friend, Professor Mark, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Jason, I really appreciate having me on. I'm excited to have this conversation and have some fun at the same time.
It's going to be a blast. This is part one. So anybody who's tuning in now for the first time, this is going to be the first segment, the first episode of our conversation. We're going to focus on authenticity and talk about that part, especially your background and then also what you're seeing now. But just a fun thing, you don't sound like you have a Virginia accent. Let's talk about that, how a guy from New York, boy from New York, man from New York, the short version of deciding to pick up and move to Virginia.
So it's not a boy from New York. It's a boy from a little town in Massachusetts called Gloucester, Massachusetts. So that's where I'm from. I ended up in upstate New York because I went to college there, never left, met my wife who's from there. And then for the next 25 years, 26, 28 years, we were in upstate New York. I left sales world. I went to teach at the College of St. Rose. Right about now, I met Brian Collins, who's the director of the sales program here at Virginia Tech, and we started talking, and he had mentioned that he has this opportunity looking for a professor, and so I threw my hat in the ring, had my interview, was offered the job, I accepted the job, and then I said, wait a minute, time out, I have to just clear this with my wife. He's never lived anywhere outside of upstate New York, so I went home, and I said, how would you like to move to Virginia? And she says, you got the job? I said, yes, I did. She goes, all right, we're moving to Virginia. So that's the long and short of it, how I ended up here.
That is a great thing. I guess the accent wasn't so New York. It's somewhere in that area. That's definitely not Virginia. I love the fact that your wife was so supportive. Obviously, she knew something about you maybe getting a job and then just, okay, let's go with it. I think that's amazing. And super side note, obviously where that plays into success in anything is having someone on your side and a partner with you on that. So you get to Virginia Tech, you're running and building and growing basically a new sales program. When you're doing that, where do you start with that kind of a program?
Best part of this is I came in, Brian Collins, he has had this sales program up and running. And I actually just came in and said, what can I do to help? How can I work with you and the students to take our program to the next level? And he just said, whatever you want to do, let's go. And I jumped in with both feet and started teaching. And it's just been amazing. It's literally, Jason, I'll tell you this, and I say this many times, that this is the best job ever. And I get up every morning and I can't wait to get to campus. I can't wait to get into that classroom to teach these students. And to me, it's not work. This is a passion. And I go to work every day and I have fun.
So talking about that, and that's obviously a theme with the conversations I've had so far with professional educators, right? Professional sales educators, is they're doing it because they love it and making that transition from sales How was that transition for you? Because obviously you did sales for a long time. You loved that at some degree. And what was that kind of road and past for you in sales and then making the jump into education a few years ago?
You always have that one moment when you realize you're not in the same job. And I remember that like it was yesterday. It was my first day on the job at the College of St. Rose. And I'm sitting in my office. It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And the dean, Mike Matthews, walked by my office and he said, "All right, Mark, I'll see you later." And I looked at my watch, right? And he saw me look at my watch and he comes in, he goes, "Let me explain something here in academia. We don't have set hours. You don't have to punch a clock. You don't have to look. You come in, you do your job, you go home, you come in the next day." And I'm like, I'm not used to that. I'm not programmed like that. I get to the office at 8 o'clock and I'm leaving at 5:30. And he just laughed and he goes, "You'll get used to it soon enough." That was really my awakening, if you will, that, to coin a phrase, I'm not in Kansas anymore. It was a totally new approach of how to do my job. And it took a while, but once I got into the routine, I got to be honest with you, I believe it made me become that much better at my job of getting used to it and understanding the ebbs and flows of academia.
So it's interesting that you bring that up. Had nothing to do with the authenticity conversation to have, but there's that seat time, right? If you're in sales, you're like, all right, I got to be there. I can't leave early. If I leave early, my boss is going to think that I'm leaving out early. Then you move into management and you're in some leadership role, and then you're getting in before the team and you're staying after the team. And some of that is the impression to your bosses, to the CEO, that you're there. Some of it is just the complete overwhelm of having 20 hours of work to do in a 9, 10, 12, 12-hour day in leadership, depending on who you work for and what you're responsible for. And then that same philosophy, though, Mark, which it could be even in those other roles, if you just come in and do what you need to do without delaying or putting things off, get it done and do the important things and leave, it could also apply. But there's something weird and different for sales and sales leadership, right?
You get in, do your job, and go home. That's it. There's no reason why you can't just get in, do your job, and go home. You don't have to be there for a certain period of time. But in sales, it's ingrained in you. Yet you have to do this. And it's a pretty amazing thing. It did take me a while to get used to it.
I wonder in sales, I know I'll speak for myself and others. It feels like there's always more things you could or should do, right? There's always something else. It's almost this compulsive, I just got to keep going and keep doing X, Y, and Z. And then there's also, I wonder how much of people wasting time and not doing what they need to do versus coming in and being like, I'm just, for the next 4 hours, I am just going to go lights out and then I'll be done. Almost like that last day before you go on a long vacation, how much stuff you get done because you don't have a choice. The challenge with sales is it's mentally so challenging that you can't sprint your way through a marathon sales career. So you have to take it slow, which then means people take 8 hours to do 4 hours worth of work.
And the thing with sales is that every day is different. Every day brings new challenges. And I liken this to the Mike Tyson quote, "Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face." And you go to work every day in sales and you have your plan. And then the emails start blowing up that, "Hey, my order didn't come here," or "your truck broke down." Or, and so then there goes your plan. You just got punched in the face. What are you going to do? So it's a lot of adapting and overcoming and being able to pivot a lot in academia versus being in, quote unquote, the real world of sales as opposed to the academia.
And again, you bring up a good point, which is, where is the reactive stuff that happens versus the proactive? In academia, it's more proactive, right? Obviously, you're reacting to, let's say, students' questions and issues and challenges that might come up, but it's not like the world is not on fire on a regular basis in academia like it probably is, could be in sales, depending if you're dealing with clients and cancels or people who have issues. So it's that proactive control versus the reactive and segmenting your time and where that fits in. So let's talk about authenticity here. When you hear that term, and obviously I end up with a lot of people on the show that resonate in the same way and are trying to help the salespeople, in your case, the future of sales, in a way that helps them become a professional in some capacity. But when you hear authenticity and you think of your beginning of sales 20 plus years ago, and then what you think now, and then what you're teaching the students, what comes to mind?
Just be yourself, honestly. Don't try to be someone you're not. And I can't stress that enough, because your customers are going to see right through that. You got to be honest with your customers. You got to build trust with your customers. You have to be authentic. You can't fake it until you, I know a lot of people like to say that, and I got to be honest with you, you can't. The buyers, even 25 years ago, they knew exactly who you were, what you were doing. Were you telling the truth? Were you trying to get one over on them? And I look at it now, it really hasn't changed. The only thing that's really changed, Jason, in sales is the technology. You still have to build relationships. And I tell my students, selling the product is easy. That's the easy part of sales. The heavy lifting comes in building that relationship, earning somebody's trust. And how do you do that, Jason? It's, you have to be authentic. You have to be true to yourself. You have to be an authentic individual that people can relate to, that they can get to know, that they can trust you. And then you build that relationship. And to me, there really hasn't much changed in 20 something years from when I first started. Maybe it's just a lot easier to follow up. Maybe it's a lot easier to keep records as opposed to writing on a legal pad, which I do to this day. It's all in CRM. So I think it comes down to one thing and one thing only, Jason, is be true to who you really are and don't try to be somebody you're not.
How does the generation of students that you're working with take that? How much do they appreciate that? How much do they think, oh, but that's not what they thought sales was about or what it took to be successful in sales?
That's an interesting point, because it's different these days. And oh, you don't know what it's like. It's more competitive. It's more challenging now. And I just shake my head and I laugh and like, you're right, I don't know. And I think also they look at it, honestly, Jason, and I'm going to hold my phone up. This is how they communicate, right? Just text. It's all done right here. What's missing is the art of the conversation, being able to handle yourself in a conversation, be it talking about the features of your product and how it benefits by solving his needs, or just holding a casual conversation. And I think that they look at that and saying, I'm trying to be authentic, but how can you be authentic when you've grown up on social media and TikTok and Instagram, where you're trying to be somebody, a persona, rather than being yourself? So I think that's the difficult thing, is how do you separate social media from the real world, if you will, in business?
And I had never thought about that. I always think of what are people's perceptions of sales, especially, let's say, students that might be 18 to 20 something year old, and they know sales from buying a car, watching their parents buy a house, buying a cell phone, furniture, stuff like that.
It's interesting, Jason. That's a question I ask day one. What's the first thing that pops in your mind when you hear sales? And inevitably, used car salespeople. And I'm like, you're right. That's a type of sales. I said, so let me ask you a question. And I said, so what do you want to be when you graduate? I want to be a financial planner. I said, okay. You think you're going to need sales skills? No. Oh, okay. So let me just ask you these questions, right? Are you going to have to sell yourself to get new clients? Yes. I said, okay. You think you're going to have to negotiate the rate that they're going to pay you and the fees that you're going to receive? Yes. Okay. You ever think you're going to have to resolve a conflict or a disagreement between two parties that you're trying to manage their funds? Yes. And do you aspire to be a manager or a leader or a partner in said financial institution you want to go work with? Yes. I said, so every one of those questions I just asked you was yes. And they're like, yeah. And I said, you just described personal selling, negotiation, conflict resolution, and leadership, i.e. the four pillars of sales. So now I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you think you need sales skills and sales training? Yes, I do. And then they say, I never realized, and I looked at sales like that. And I said, of course, you don't, because sales to you is used car salesman, a door-to-door vacuum salesperson, or a telemarketer. That's what sales is to you. And I'm telling you, there is a big world out there that nothing happens until you sell something.
I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions. It's just fascinating to hear that and think they don't know. It's tough because obviously I've been around sales for so long, like I get it. But then I think back to myself at that age, especially I'm going to school to get a marine biology degree to tag sharks. I'm definitely not thinking about anything sales. And I was grown up hating salespeople. Like my mom literally still to this day hates gross, self-centered, old school salespeople. She loves a professional who cares and wants to help her get what's best for her, but she literally will rip apart anybody who tries to be gross and slimy with her or pushy. So it makes sense. And going back to what you said about the authenticity piece with the students, I'd never thought about that, but I think it's fascinating to think about what you were saying about the technology and how they're raised and interacting and not as many conversations in person and not as much time, like building relationships in person and how much is done digital. And then them thinking and relating authenticity to, but you put stuff online and that's not who you are. Like they're just, everyone's projecting the highlight reels of their life instead of what's the behind the scenes stuff. And so when they think about it, but that's why they're telling you, it's, oh, it's different times. You don't get it. It's different now because of what they're looking at in their life and not understanding the sales side.
No, it's amazing. I learned from my students just as much as they learn from me. So it's a really good balance in the classroom every day.
So what do you say to that part where they're looking at it through the lens of the digital world, relationships, that kind of stuff where we were just talking about authenticity? And then when you're opening their eyes to what they need to do to understand sales in a professional role, no matter where they get in there, like how do you help them embrace that and bridge that gap from what they think authenticity is and sales and then what it really takes?
Basically, it's a lot of hands-on experiential learning, really. It's trying to bring in experiences that I've had in the sales world and bring them into the classroom to make a lecture come alive that they can relate to. And because Jason, you and I have both sat in that on the other side, listening to the professor just drone on. And it's death by PowerPoint. And yeah. I try to get them out of their comfort zone. I try to get them to be comfortable with being uncomfortable and really put some of these skills to work, whether it be an elevator pitch, talking about yourself, doing an actual role play in sales, learning how to ask discovery questions, learning how to close the deal, learning how to overcome objections, because these are things that they're going to be doing every single day, no matter what path mm-hmm. they go down. So my role is not only to teach them, yes, I have to teach them sales skills, right? That's what I get paid to do. But I'm also teaching them life skills. So to get them prepared for no matter whatever life throws at them, that they can handle it. And the digital social media, I say to them, that could be a huge, huge asset to you if you know how to utilize it correctly, if you know how to build your LinkedIn network, if you know how to network via social media, you're going to have more opportunities than I could have ever dreamed about. But you have to learn how to do it professionally. And there's a way to do it professionally and not do it professionally. As I always tell them, go on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is for business and it's networking. LinkedIn is not Facebook. You want to have a Facebook page, that's great. LinkedIn is for business, but, and I say this to my boys, because I have two of them too, anything you put on social media defines who you are. So just remember that.
Yeah. And I think one of the big things is getting anybody, not just a certain generational age group, but get anyone to realize that they can't do all of the sale via digital. Correct. Posting online, sending direct messages will not close deals on something that's being sold, that's a considered purchase that requires some decision-making process by the other person and by you, right? Like you can't enroll or close deals just by texting people and hoping that they're going to buy, not at scale. You might get lucky every once in a while, but it's not going to work. Just in the same way that you're not going to get someone, let's say, to be in a relationship with you or marry you just by texting all the time and hoping that's enough, right? That you're going to build enough relationship. Like you can get a certain point and then you actually have to meet and talk.
That's a great point, Jason. Yes, you can use digital media, you could use all of that and all the tools at your disposal to get you to a certain point. But person up face to face, personal selling, building that relationship will never go away. I don't care how much technology advances. I don't care what comes down the pike. You will always have to get in front of somebody to build that relationship, to make that personal connection and to build trust. You will never build trust over a text, over an email. That comes one-on-one and getting to know each other.
And again, this is for everyone listening where you might want to disagree with that. If you have something that you can sell via email or sell via text, then that's a transactional commodity. Okay. That's not a considered purchase where someone needs to know, should I do this? And then which is best, option A, option B, right? If you're selling something you can do that with, that's great. But if you want to be in a professional sales role, you're usually selling something that there's some decision-making process, B2C or B2B. And I think that's important. So one final question for the authenticity piece, and this is a weird segue, but you're in the process of writing a book, which I'm super excited about. You know, I've done that. So a lot of people ask me about the process, but I love people who are actually in the process, not thinking about it someday. And the reason I bring up the book in this segment is because of the book and what you're focused on and what you learned is really about confidence, and confidence in yourself leads to embracing who you are and being more authentic because you're not worried about who you are because you're confident in that's okay. So talk a little bit about that and what led to the concepts that you're putting in the book and what that's about.
Yeah, so I'm knee deep in it and you've been there. I'm in the revisions chapter section of writing. So it's next week I pre-sell my big launch. So that's going to be exciting. And basically my book is based off of 8 goals that I set for my students every semester, right? First day of class, I hand these 8 goals out and they range from number 1, be confident, to enhance teamwork, achieve self-worth. And my biggest one is never quit. And so I try to weave in life lessons, experiences, and really show them that there is a blueprint or a path that if they follow, they could live a happy life and become more confident. Because to your point, everybody has confidence, Jason. It's inside of you. And it's my job as a professor to get my students to believe in themselves, to believe in their ability, to become more confident and leave class the last day more confident than they were the first day. If I achieve nothing else all semester, but they leave class more confident than when they started, and that's what I try to strive in them. The lessons, the motivational quotes that I put in the book, and they all lead up to something. And to me, it's a book that it's for educators, it's for business professionals, it's for students. Quite frankly, Jason, it's for anybody who is searching for that inner confidence, that motivation, that drive that we all seek and search for, but maybe we need a little bit of help. Maybe we need a little bit of a push, a little motivation. And hopefully you can find something in this book and take it away and include it in your life to help you down that path to become that confident individual that we all know we can be.
I love it. And again, where I teed this up for you, because I know when we spoke about this prior to recording, is that it is so true, that confidence and what your goal is with the students, like their sales skills. But when somebody feels confident, they're going to be themselves. They're going to embrace who they are. And then they're going to be more successful through being who they are and knowing that they can do it. And I think that's always the key. That's always that subtle thing that a lot of people don't realize is the difference maker in so many things. I love it. Super excited for that.
It's coming out in September to be published, but next week I'm going to launch the pre-sale and the book is called In the Arena, My Journey from the Boardroom to the Classroom.
I love it. And speaking of which, we will have that in the show notes, depending on when this comes out and where that is in the release. And then when people find it, we'll keep the show notes updated with links for any way to find that book again, In the Arena. I love that. Also, as we close out this, if people are interested in connecting with you, and you've been great, we chatted via LinkedIn. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm on LinkedIn the most and have a lot of conversations start. And then, like we talked about earlier, then move away from LinkedIn. So people can find you on LinkedIn. Again, it's Mark Michelson, and it's MICHALISIN. Again, the link will be in the show notes. And then people can also check out the Virginia Tech programs. And there's a whole bunch after that. You can find it in the show notes, or you can Google the sales program there. And I appreciate you being on here and sharing, especially this authenticity part, the part one, and the work that you're doing with the students. So thank you, Mark. And for everyone else tuning in, I appreciate you being a part of this journey and my goal to help shift the world of sales from this dirty word and the things like Mark was talking about, where it's that used car sales mentality. And I've asked that same question of people in other countries outside the US, what they think of sales or even used car sales, and they all picture the same thing. But shifting that to being a profession and helping people become professionals and doing it for the right reasons for themselves and others, while at the same time making money. So appreciate you tuning in. Hopefully you got some value from this. And until next time, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.